Welcome to America's Top Rebbetzins. In the merit of this class, may Hashem watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to the IDF soldiers, including Nitzan ben Yischa, Noah bat Leah, Noah bat Leora, and Noah bat Mali. Please click on the subscribe button to subscribe to us on the America's Top Rebbetzins YouTube page, or click follow to follow us on your podcasting app so that you are the first to know when an inspiring new episode is posted. Today, we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Liel Shitrit. Liel is a survivor of the Nova Music Festival attacks by Hamas that happened on October 7th, 2023. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm really, really honored to have you here. And first of all, I want to say thank God that you survived, and I'm so grateful that you are here with us. And I wanted to invite you to please share your story with us about what happened to you on the morning of October 7th.
Okay, so I will begin at the beginning. So at 6:30 in the morning, just a minute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at 6:30 in the morning, the rocket started during the party. So we started to quickly pack everything that we have. I came to the party with two of my friends, Dor and Gilad. They had a massage a stand.
Mm-hmm.
They had massages during the party to people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when everything started, we had to like pack all of our things like as fast as we could. Then we started to hear gunshots like after an hour, I think. So we heard gunshots like near us, and we thought that maybe we should stay at the area of the party because there was a police and the security. So we thought it's going to be better us to stay near them. After 10 minutes, we saw a truck with, I don't know how much, maybe 50, maybe 60 terrorists of Hamas. And they came into the party area at like 8 and 12 minutes. And we started to run with our Jeep, me, Dor, and Gilad. And then we saw our friends falling down everywhere. They shot just everybody. We're running with the Jeep, and then we saw our friend Oad. We took him with us, and then I'm sorry.
It's okay, you're doing great.
and then we saw another friend of mine, Alex Lubanov, is one of the hostages. So we took them with us, and then we started to run. So after we managed to escape to one way, because we were surrounded like from everywhere, and we saw an IDF jeep on hill, so we decided to approach it to be close, like to IDF, to weapons, to something like this. The jeep was abandoned and was bloodied. So after this, we understood that the soldiers that were in the jeep is kidnapped. So we managed to take one weapon. After this, we knew he was damaged, so we couldn't fix him. So we are running to Kibbutz Be'eri, and we're stopped on the way, and eight of terrorists are jumping on us while Alex and Oad is near the car. Alex is calling his wife, Michal, and Oad is needed to pee. So we stopped just for 1 minute, and like for just 10 seconds after they jump on us, Alex and Oad ran away to the bushes, and we managed to ran away again with our Jeep. So in this area, we were, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So in this area, we are in a run, like for, I don't know, 2 and maybe 2.5 hours, that like every 10 minutes, there is another terrorist, that are another group of terrorists that is chasing us. So so one of the chases, the one Gilad that sits in the back, is getting shot by one of the terrorists in the head. So when he came with his weapon, he's, I'm sitting like in the front, Gilad sitting in the back, and Dor is driving. And then, I'm sorry. So the terrorist came, he shoots one shot at Gilad to his head, and then he came to my window. So he, I'm looking at him and I see his eyes, it's like, and then a Kalashnikov is in my head. I'm starting to scream at him, Shema Israel, Shema Israel. Like, I was, I was just praying God.
Of course, of course.
And then Dor, I don't know how he managed to do this, but he's like with his car to the terrorist. And another one came from the back, and he also managed to, I don't know how to say it, to kick him out, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. So
you managed to get away from that group of terrorists. You managed to get away from them.
Yes, but Gilad is with a bullet in his head.
Was he still alive at this point? Like when he was shot, was he? Okay.
Yes, he's alive. Like, he's alive.
Okay, so thank God. Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a miracle. Like everything that happened to us, everybody need to understand that it was a miracle. Like, totally.
It sounds like it so far, especially since one of the terrorists, you like you were saying, he came up right to your window, right to your car window, yeah, and he like, had the gun pointed at you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I seen his eyes, and the Kalashnikov was like in my head. So I thought that this is the end, but I don't know, Shema Israel. And all of this is like actually... it was actually helpful.
It worked. Hashem helped you. No, he heard you calling out to him and he helped you. So when you were looking at him, like you said that you looked in his eyes, you saw his eyes. I imagine the rest, he was covered up, right? He had a mask on his head. And yeah, it's just his eyes that you saw, right? Yeah. Did you see any expression in his eyes? Like if his eyes could talk, like, did you see something?
I didn't see like in my whole life, black eyes, like it was with him, like his eyes was so black and I don't know, evil. I don't know how, like, evil is not even a word for how much his eyes was bad. Like he just wanted to kill.
Okay. So he had the look in his eyes, like he just wanted to kill. He didn't care about you. He didn't care about the person. He just wanted to kill and move on and kill the next one, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, so you got away. You managed to get away from this group, yeah. And then
so I'm with the police on the line at this point, and the police didn't know where to direct us, and the officer on the line told us to head to Berry, and just like to make sure that our forces are in the entrance of Berry. We're talking like 2.5 hours that we are running,
right
in Berry, yeah. So at first we didn't stop at Berry. We drove because I told the officer we have our friend is with a bullet in his head. Like we need to go to hospital. We can't go to Berry. And we managed to drove over Berry, and then we were near Kibbutz Alumim. In Kibbutz Alumim, there was two tenders trucks with I don't know 50 terrorists of Hamas, and they just, I don't know how to say it. They shot at us RPG.
Okay.
And I don't know how the RPG didn't like blow us, because it was like this close to us. And we again needed to reverse and back to Berry.
Okay.
So we came, so in the entrance, we're arriving to the entrance of Berry, and there were just like bodies everywhere, no signs of our forces. And we began to hear like shouts in Arabic, and like they're singing from Kibbutz Be'eri. So at the Kibbutz Be'eri, there's on the right side a bicycle shop, La Medavesh. So I Dor and Gilad stay in the car, and I took off the car and started to search for a place to hide in this bicycle shop. And then I found a door that was opened. A half of the door was like, it's the of glass and half of plastic, so it's not so good. And it haven't had a lock, so door had to hold for 6 hours the door. I found the toilet. It was like a toilet cab, so we hid there for 6 hours. 10 minutes after we arrived to this toilet and we were hiding in, it was Hamas came to this building and making this building his like cell, and they were constantly close to the toilet window and the door. There were several military attempts against the terrorists in Be'eri after hearing them shooting and starting to sing in Arabic.
They were singing. So they were singing because they were happy that they shot the Jews, or like.
Yeah. Every time that they shot at like IDF, at the military attempts, so they were starting to sing, and that's how we knew they shooting civilians and how they shot IDF.
Okay.
So we realized we are alone. We kept silent and we tried to breathe quietly. So I spread towels on the floor to avoid any noise of movement. So for 6 hours, we just prayed for our lives. The bathroom door didn't have a lock, so Dor had to hold it for 6 hours while staying close to the wall. The door is made of glass, so it's you can't see us.
Right.
It's so easy to see us.
And they had no idea that you were there. They didn't know that you were there.
So me and the injured person, Girad, we hid behind the curtain. There was a little shower, and they had a curtain.
Yes.
So we hid behind this. I used towels like and papers to stop the bleeding and keep him consciousness. He had a bullet in his head, so it's
right.
I don't know.
Wow. But that whole time, and he was there that whole time, bleeding with a bullet in his head during the 6 hours that your friend was holding the door closed.
So, like we took a towels to put in his head and
right to try to stop the bleeding. Yes.
Yeah. But like I wasn't in the military. I wasn't at nothing that
you didn't have any training, right?
I don't have any training, so I was just like, I don't know what to do, but I'm doing.
Right. You were doing the best you can. No, of course. That was very, very smart that you were trying to put towel. You were really doing everything that you could to try to stop the bleeding and to save your friend. And you were also smart to put the towels on the floor. You were saying that you put the towels on the floor before.
Yeah.
Very,
They
very
don't
smart.
Moving. Yeah.
Yeah, very smart.
So the building we were in was hit by, I don't know, 7 RPGs rockets, 3 missiles that were came from Gaza, and constantly countless bullet sprays for 6 hours. Everything was destroyed except the small space we were in, like all the area when we opened the door, all the area was just destroyed. The only, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Take your time. It's okay.
So we remained silent, neither when the missiles were launched at us, and also during the shooting, like the shooting in the windows of the bathroom, and we were silent. So it was really scary. I don't know. It's like, maybe horror is the word for what I was feeling.
Horror, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And terror, horror and terror.
Yeah, yeah. So the main thing was to stay quiet. The military and all the units knew exactly where we are, because like I send them the location to all the military units, to all the police.
Smart.
But no one came like 6 hours. It was 6 hours that it's like eternity. Every second we thought, okay, now this is the end. Now they're going to open the door. This is the end. We really couldn't believe we came out of this alive. So after the 6 hours, two soldiers arrived from a nearby post, having escaped from terrorists by themselves. And we held them carry wounded and traumatized people that were in the area. The area around was like full of bodies and body parts and heads. And I'm sorry if it's too much.
No. I'm sympathizing. I'm trying to imagine the scene, and I appreciate you sharing with us. You know, it's very hard to imagine it if you weren't actually there. You know, and I'm trying to look at it through your eyes. It's a lot. No, I'm glad that you're giving details, because it's really important for people to know. So I just, yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
So like all the area was just with the missiles things and like the body parts, you could see hands and legs, and I won't overshare for this one. So we loaded an unconsciousness, but a breathing man with a gunshot all over his body. So at first he had consciousness, and he told my partner Edo that he's just to tell his mother that he loves her, and then he closed his eyes, but he still had a pulse and he was still breathing. So we decided to take him with us. So we decided to head towards the nearest checkpoint that was in Alumim, our forces. We reached them, we handed over the wounded who were taken in the armored vehicle to the hospital, that is Gilad and the other person. So we remained at the checkpoint, me and Dor, for another 3 hours, under gunfire, because it wasn't safe to go on the road. But with the armed soldiers and police, it felt safer, even though they had gunfights with terrorists like around us.
And there was there were four people with you originally. What, Alex? I think Alex was your other friend that was with you originally.
Yeah, Alex Lubanov is one of the hostages. He's kidnapped.
Okay.
He's my boss. I work for him. He's a friend of mine. His wife Michal is needed to give birth like in a month, I think, even less. And they have also a 2-year-old boy, Tom. We really need to Alex to come back to us.
Yes, amen, amen, yeah.
His wife needs him, his parents needs him. Like, I think it's the most important thing to me in all those sharings and telling my stories to talk about my friends that are still in Gaza. I don't know if they're alive. I don't know what is happening to them, but they're still there and we need to bring them home now.
It's 100%. So I was going to ask you if you could say something to the hostages right now. You know, let's just imagine for a moment that they could hear you. Let's just pretend. What would you say specifically to the hostages, to them directly?
Maybe to stay strong, like we're coming for you. It's going to happen. All the miracles that happens to me, I believe that it's going to happen for them. Because my friend Moran, she was hostage for 54 days and she came back.
Okay.
So miracles can happen. So I'm really, really positive that the rest of my friends, Bar Cooperstein and Alex, will remain to get home safe.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. We're all working here very, very hard, you know, to try to bring them back. Everybody doing everything they can little by little. Hopefully they'll be released. Like you said, today, bring them home now, bring them home today. So
they need to be here like yesterday, not today. Yeah. Yesterday they need to be home. So,
yes. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, so it's interesting. I was going to ask you, you know, I asked you what you would say to the hostages if you could speak to them now. What would you say to those members of Hamas who attacked you and your friends? Let's just say you can go and be face to face with any one of those people who was attacking you and your friends, the people in Kibbutz Be'eri. What would you say to members of Hamas who perpetrated this attack?
Actually, I don't think there is somebody to talk to them. They are not people. They are monsters. You need to understand this. Like, you can't even talk to them. I can't imagine to say something to them, because like all I believe is in love and to be united, and it doesn't matter your race and your religion or your color. I believe in love. I believe in humanity. It's not something that they have built in them. It's like they are monsters. They're programmed to kill, to rape, to harm people. So I can't even imagine to tell something to someone like this, because to me it's not even a person.
That's a wow. I appreciate you sharing that perspective, because that's a very, very strong perspective. I happen to agree with you. There's no conversation that could be had, but I just at least wanted you, you know, to give you the opportunity just in case. But yeah. I agree with you. You can't say anything.
Like I have a lot of Arab friends and they're Muslims and they believe in the Quran. Nothing, no one in the Quran, no God in the world is say to someone, go and kill and rape and do all of this stuff. So I don't think it's something with Arab people and the Muslims. It's just about the monsters of Hamas. It's like something is not working there right. It's lack of humanity.
Yes, and I appreciate that distinction, because you're right. I mean, they're the Hamas terrorists, they're the monsters, like you say. They're not even people that you can even have a conversation with. Them versus, like you said, some of your Arab friends who are just regular people trying to get by their day, trying to work, trying to have families, and they're not out to kill anybody, you know?
Like, I'm living in Israel, but like, I think that the rest of the world don't understand the Israeli experience. We're living in Israel, Arabs and Jews, for a lot of time. Like, we love each other. We're living each other. We buy it at there and they buying it at us. Like, they just want to make money and get through the day and have a family. So
right.
In the real world, like what is really happening in Israel, there's no hate. There's no hate between Jews and Arabs. It's just something like, maybe, I don't know, maybe the press wanted to be like this. Maybe Hamas wanted to sound like this, but this is not the truth.
Thank you for making that distinction, because it's very, very important. Thank you. So I just want to go, you know, I want to just go back for a minute to October 7th, because I want to understand something. And this is something very, very important. I think you've talked about it a little bit, but I really want to make the distinction. From before 6:30 in the morning, I know you were starting off at 6:30 in the morning. From before 6:30 in the morning until now, Do you feel like you yourself personally changed as a person? Do you feel like you were a different person then and now?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't think that something that was in, like, there is something in me that is from the past. Like, I'm a whole new person after this. I changed my whole life, my whole perspectives. I really believed in love and humanity, and I never thought, even if in my, I don't know, in my nightmares, that something like this would happen. I saw the evil in the eyes. So I saw a lot of my friends murdered in front of my eyes. So something is broken inside. Yeah.
Right. And so how, I was going to ask you about that. Like, how have you been processing your emotions? You have a lot of support from family and friends, because I mean, you saw horrors, like we were talking about, you saw horrors. How do you process that? Because it's not something you could dream about. It's something you can imagine, even in your worst nightmares. Like, how do you, have you been able to process that emotionally?
So it's really like a lot of support from my friends, from my family. A lot of organization came to open things for the Nova survivors. So all the first months I was surrounded by another Nova survivors all the time. So it really helped us, like,
to share everything that you went through, the experience.
Yeah, the experience, to share the experience together. So I think it was really, really helpful for us. And it's still now, because we're always like going to things together. And it's like when we are together, we can to encourage each other.
That's really, really important. So you have each other's support, because no one can fully understand what you went through unless you went through it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And all the people.
Also, like,
yeah.
The Nova Festival, it's a tribe. Like, we're all family. So it's also really supportive. The people is really, really supportive to each other.
Right. And I was going to ask you, like, what are the type of people who went to the festival? Like, who went? I mean, because you're so filled with, like, positivity and light and love. Were other people there like you? Or what was the, who
yeah,
are the people?
Yeah, actually, this is what I talked about now. Like, the Nova, it's a Nova tribe. Like, we're all like loving each other. We're dancing barefoot, and we're hugging people that we don't know. Because this is the spirit of the Nova, like love, to spread love and freedom and to celebrate life. The Hamas and all these terrorists are celebrating death. We came to celebrate our lives.
100%, 100%. See, and I just find it so ironic. You guys are like exuding love and light and peace, you know, and you weren't doing anything wrong. You weren't provoking any attacks. You weren't being mean to anybody. You weren't doing anything. And all of a sudden, this kind, loving group of people, you're listening to your music, you're doing your thing. And these were the people that attacked. Hamas attacked you, your group specifically, you know, and of course, the people on the kibbutzim also. But I just find that so ironic, and I never stop. You know, they weren't attacking people who were attacking them. They were just attacking people who were just enjoying themselves, having a good time,
yeah.
People who were sleeping
they
in their beds.
They were attacking everyone. Like, they didn't, people like saying they were coming for you because you did this and you did this and you did that. But like, we were dancing.
Yeah.
But we did nothing wrong.
Right.
Also, they slaughtered like all the workers and the, like, the Thai workers and the Arab workers, and they didn't mind who they're killing. They were just wanted to kill. It doesn't matter, because, like, if you're Arab and you're killing Jews, so why are you killing Arabs too? Why are you killing Thai people too? It doesn't align with what they're saying to what they're doing.
100%, yes. You hit the nail on the head, because their killing was indiscriminate. They weren't saying, okay, I'm going to kill this one, but not that one. Or I'm going to save that one, but not that one. They were just killing everybody. That's what you're saying.
They killed everybody, but like the girls, they, my friends saw, I didn't. So I'm just telling my friend's experience. He saw, like, they came, they took one girl, and he's asking him to kill her or to rape her. And he said to him, "Oh, okay, I will rape her." They take her, and then they shot their head. And then they shot his head. And I don't know. I'm just lucky they didn't saw me, because 100% if they saw me, so maybe I was raped, maybe I was kidnapped, maybe I was slaughtered. I don't know. I saw what they did to my friends, and it's, you can't even imagine the things that I saw. Like, even if in the movies, it's not so bad like what we saw.
Right. Yeah. I can't. Wow. Okay. So, you know, so it's interesting. All after this, after October 7th, all across the world, people are now protesting. I don't know, you know, you've heard about this, Free Palestine, from the river to the sea, all over.
Actually, I think that we need to free Israel from Palestine. Like, it's not our problem. Right. They don't need to be our problem. Free Israel from Palestine.
The other way around, exactly. Okay, you know what I was going to ask you? I was going to say, if you could stop one of the protesters in the street, you know, one of the protesters who's painted, you know, in all the colors and carrying the signs, if you could just stop one protester and just say something to them, you know, what would you say?
I really want, like, to tell everybody what is the history, what is really happening, what the history of Israel, the history of Gaza, and like to them to see what is really happening. But all they can say is like, no, it's fake news. It's fake news. Their answer to everything that is fake. I don't know. I just wanted to tell them, like, we're not want this war. We don't want to be in war. We just want to live our lives, to be happy, to go to work, to make money, to make ourselves family. And the Arabs in Israel are the same. Like, they're thinking the same. Or they're always talking about the occupation, but there is no occupation. The Arabs in Israel have the same rights as a Jew or as a Christian, or I don't know. We all have the same rights. Nobody is getting occupied. The biggest managers of banks and institutes are Arabs. So you can't say nothing about occupation or free Palestine, because, like, maybe free Palestine from Hamas, because it's a terror organization.
100%.
Even the Gazan civilians don't want the Hamas. They're hurting them.
Right. So I was going to ask you that also, because, you know, right now, all over the news, everybody's feeling bad for the civilians in Gaza. You know, they're running around. You can see them on TV. You're crying, not getting humanitarian aid. And I just wanted to ask you, do you feel bad for the citizens of Gaza, not Hamas, but like the regular people of Gaza?
Did they feel bad for me for the 7 October? Because, like, I don't think they feel bad for I saw all of my friends getting slaughtered. Of course, I don't want to anyone be in a bad situation and kids not to get, I don't know what they need, but if they don't feel bad for me, it's telling something about them. So I don't say that they deserve it, but like, if they really wanted, the Hamas wasn't doing all this stuff that they're doing, because the ones that took my friend in hostages is a civilians of Gaza, not Hamas terrorists. The one who kidnapped my friend was a civilians with no armor, with no nothing. They came and they took my friends.
Wow.
It's a civilians. It's not, you can't, it's like, you can't say it's Hamas terrorists, but they were barefoot with no armor. They just came, took my friends. They beat them, I don't know. So I don't think there is not even one soul that is of innocent civilian in Gaza. But I don't want to be in war with them. I just want the Hamas to don't exist anymore. And We lived really good all these years before Hamas, and we can live after them. Arabs and Jews don't need to be enemies. We love each other. So why to do this?
Right. No, 100%. I really appreciate that perspective. I thank you. So I want to ask you about the kidnappings a little bit, because you said just regular people, they weren't armed, they just came and they just took your friends and they kidnapped them. Did they put them in jeeps or on motorcycles, or how did they get them?
Oh, they were on motorcycles, on jeeps, on vehicles. They and a lot of them just came like this, without vehicle, without. They're just crossing.
On foot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with a big, I don't know how to say it in English. They just took them.
Okay. And what about the paratroopers? You know, the ones who flew in overhead? Did you see those, the paratroopers?
Me specifically, I didn't saw them personally, but my friends did. I didn't saw them.
Okay.
Like, I saw videos of this, but...
But you didn't see it personally. Okay. And so you were telling me about how what you and your friends did, and you were seeing people around you get either kidnapped or killed. Did you see other people trying to escape? I'm just wondering what it was like for the people that you saw trying to escape.
Everybody just tried to escape. Nobody knew where to go, because we were surrounded from everywhere. They came, there were 300 of terrorists and with weapons, and we were barefoot.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't have even a knife. Like, we came to dance. We don't do stuff like this.
Right.
So we were surrounded. Everybody just trying to to get away from there, but we didn't know where to go. So also there was snipers everywhere. So we saw our friends running and then in the head. So it was really by luck.
Right. So I know you're saying by luck, but I know you're saying Shema Israel. I was just wondering how can I put it? Like, what part Hashem had to play in this? Because you were saying, you know, earlier on that you felt like everything that happened to you was a miracle. And having heard your story, I agree with you. I also, it sounds like a miracle. It sounds like Hashem was watching over you. And I know he was watching over many other people too. But can you talk to me a little bit about your experience about with Hashem in the picture?
Yes. So I will talk about my experience. All the way, all the videos and all the stuff that I talked on the phone, you can hear me yelling just Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Always, like every second, this is what I yelled, and this is what I really believed that is going to help me. And this is what happened. So when we were in Be'eri, in this toilet that it was so small and so stinky, and it's so bloody because of Gilad's head, so there was maybe 2,000 of insects with us in the toilet because of the blood.
Right.
So I had a really, really... I had an experience that was really unreal. I started to talking to God, to Hashem,
mm-hmm.
And I felt like someone is hugging me, and I was begging him. I told him like, no, my mother needs her daughter, so please, please get us safe home. And I felt like someone is hugging me, and no one hugged me. I really felt the God spirit with me.
Right.
I don't know how to say it, but
yeah.
It was something crazy. I never experienced something like this before. My whole body was like shaking. And there were at this time 50 of Hamas terrorists right in the door.
Right.
So, and I felt calm because I was like, no, Hashem is with me. I know I'm going to get out of this. Like, I felt him. I felt him the first time that I'm talking to Hashem that is listening to me.
Right, like you were talking to him directly and he was hearing what
I
you
was
had to say.
Talking to him directly and I felt like he's hearing me. So it was crazy. I don't know how to even, there is no much words that I can't.
No, it's beautiful. No, you expressed it beautifully. You really encapsulated it. It's so beautiful. You know, it's that direct connection with Hashem. You know, he wants that from us and we want that, you know, with him. So that's beautiful. So I want to ask you.
This is like, I was talking with him in honesty. So
Yeah.
this is what saved me. So.
Yeah.
And
No,
he's
it's very good.
talking directly and just with honesty. So everything is changed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I believe that too. I do. I believe that. And can I ask how old you are?
I'm 20.
You're 20. Okay. And how you, what is life like for you now? Like, you know, it's been a couple of months. What, like, are you back to work or like, what is your life like right now?
So for now, I didn't get back to work. I'm a bartender. To this time, I still can't do this. I can't manage to do this. Actually, I'm living in Ashkelon. So this is the most feared city in Israel.
Right.
Like even when we came back at the 7 October to my home, the one thing of the missile fell at my house.
Wow.
Like, and now I'm looking for apartment because my house is like half broken because of the wall. And it takes a lot of time to do stuff like this with in Israel.
Right, of course.
So I'm now just like looking for a place to be and like to heal.
Right.
It's really tough, but we need to do this. Like there is no other option.
No, I know, and I know it's tough, and I, you know, I love your perseverance and your optimism that you will heal. It's going to take time, but you will. You will.
Definitely.
And I want to ask about your family. You know, once you were back home, you know, safe with your family, and they understood. You told them what was going on. They finally understood what was going on. You know, what was their reaction?
I was missing like for a few hours, so they thought I was dead.
Right.
My family experience was really, really bad with this. Like they're still having an anxiety attacks.
Of course.
Yeah, they. We are 4 months after this, and my family, I'm not even talking about me and my PTSD. my family is still having a heart attack if I don't answer the phone or if something is happening and they don't know. So it's really tough for them also. Like my mom, at the first thought, she's going to go insane.
Right.
Like really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. Like she probably needs to know where you are all the time and just, you know, that keep that connection with you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I
it
understand.
It doesn't bother me, so it's okay for me.
No, that's
I
good.
My mom is going to be chill and cool, and she's going to call me every 5 minutes, but if I know she's good and she knows where I am, so I'm fine with this.
That's good. That's very good. Wow. So, you know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of missions to Israel right now from the U.S. and I'm sure from other countries, too, like people coming, making the barbecues for the soldiers, packing food for soldiers, trying to help the people who are displaced in any way that they can, just lending themselves and their assistance in any way that they can. Do you find that as an Israeli, do you find that that's helpful to get that moral support and that physical support from others?
Yes, I think it's very, very important for us as Israelis to get the support from the world, because all we see is the anti-Semitic is going upper and upper and upper and all the world, because everybody is Muslim, apparently. but like, I don't know why the world see it's like an Muslims and Jews war. It's not like this. Like we don't have nothing bad with Muslims, and I know that Muslims don't have nothing bad with Jews. So where did it came from? Who wants us like to hate each other? So it's really, really helpful when people came and give the support. So I think maybe to explain to anti-Semitic people how to act and not a barbecue for IDF soldiers will be more helpful. Yeah. But the barbecue is also a good idea. So
right. So that was going to be my next question. You know what? So, you know, everybody wants to help. I'm located in New York, and everybody wants to help, you know, around the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, all over the across the United States. And I know all over across the world too. Like the Jewish community really wants to help. What do you feel is maybe like the top two or top three things that we in the diaspora, we who don't live in Israel, we who live in outside of Israel, what are some of the things that you find that would be the most helpful for the people who do live in Israel?
Yeah, so for me, I think that maybe like to explanations to explain to people what is really going in Israel, what is the world all about, not what the press want us to see, not what the press want to make us to. Again, I'm going back to the Jewish and Muslim point. So we're not hating them. We're just wanted to live a life. We just want to live our lives in peace and right. In love. So first of all, the explanation, I think, is the best thing that Jews around the world can do for us in Israel. Also, all of the things that the delegation that had to Israel is really important also. Because we need to see this support. Because we in Israel feeling like everybody's hating us.
Right.
We're all in the an anxiety like of the Holocaust is happening all over again.
Right.
So I think that we really need to know that it's not like this. The world is not again cover his eyes when there's something like this.
Right, that the world is not turning away from the Jews and from helping them. Right. Not yeah. Turning away. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So I want to ask you one last question. It's actually from a friend of mine. When I told my friend that I was going to be speaking to you, she was curious about this. It's a very interesting question. How do you feel about forgiveness? Do you think that there could be forgiveness in this type of situation? You know, how do you feel about forgiveness?
Forgiveness to who?
That's a good question. Forgiveness to the people who perpetrated the attack.
I don't think that I can forgive to someone who wore the 7 October mascara. It's like, it's insane. How can I forgive to someone about murdering my brothers, my sisters?
Right.
I can't forgive, but maybe I can forgive the next generation so they won't be hate. I can forgive to them, to their kids, to say it's not have to be like this. To them, I can't forgive. But the next generation, the kids that are now in Gaza, they're hating us. They're really hating us. Yeah. I can forgive them and tell them it's not have to be like this. But no one who were taking even the smallest part in this mascara, I can't forgive. No, definitely not.
Yes, I love that perspective. So you can't forgive the people who perpetrated the attack, but their kids who might hate us right now, but maybe with education.
They're hating us.
That they hate us right now, yes. That they could eventually not make the same mistakes that their parents made.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I love that. Okay. So before we end, is there anything else that you want to share? Just want to open up, you know, the floor for you, just in case you want to share any last words that you want people to know.
I think that like my perspective about everything, it's like we need to be united, not just as Jews, as like as world, as a human, as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like as a humanity, we need to be united. And when something like this evil is coming up, so we can't to look away from some like things like this. We need to be united to believe in love, to believe in peace, to believe in all of this good stuff, not in the evil.
Thank
it's
you.
Really, really important, like for me.
I agree with you 100%. Thank you. Thank you so much, Liel, for joining us on America's Top Rebbetzins. And in the merit of today's meaningful conversation, may Hashem watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to the IDF soldiers, including Nitzan ben Yischa, Noah bat Leah, Noah bat Liora, and Noah bat Mali. Thank you so much again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you.